going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go, Payne and Pendergast. Not a great day for the Astros yesterday. On the field, 8-4 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. Hunter Brown, not great. Ballpark didn't do him any favors, but he wasn't sharp right out of the chute. He gave up 2 runs in the first, and they ends up giving up 5 runs, 3 home runs. He'd only given up, I think, 2 home runs all year. He gave up 3 in that bandbox of a windy ballpark yesterday, so they lose there. And then we find out that they may be losing Ronel Blanco, who's been solid enough this year. Like, Ronel Blanco can be your fourth starter on a playoff team, for sure. And right now, they're down so many pitchers that you just see news of any pitcher with the Astros, especially with their history with elbows, news of them getting sent back to Houston to have their elbow looked at. It doesn't feel good. Ronel Blanco, Seth, yesterday getting sent back to – well, he got sent back earlier this week. The report came down yesterday that he's back in Houston and he's getting his elbow looked at. And every other time, literally every other time this has happened in the last few years, it has resulted in some sort of elbow surgery, oftentimes Tommy John surgery, which means you're gone for at least a year if you're Ronel Blanco. And most importantly, gone for this year where you really need arms right now.
So we're going to see more and more of just whichever minor leaguers are going to rotate up in an emergency situation. And at this point, Spencer Arrighetti is a near certainty that he's going to come back.
Yeah,
it's I thought we might have a little bit more progress by now, because initially, you know, some people thought several weeks. It was like 4 weeks to 6 weeks, whatever it might be. But he was still earlier this week. He was still in a smaller cast, but a cast. But he's going to come back at some point.
Yes.
Luis Garcia is another one that. At some point you might see him this year, but given that they completely shut him down for a month.
Shut him down. Yeah.
And he's coming off Tommy John. I'm not optimistic about that. Christian Javier, if that happens, great, but I'm not banking on it necessarily.
He will come back.
I can't sit here and expect that there won't be any setbacks or delays.
It's appropriate to point them out because they're rehabbing from injuries. They exist. They've done things for the Astros. In my mind, just in terms of how I look at this season, they're off the radar for me. I know that Javier could, for whatever reason, man, like it doesn't feel like the injuries themselves suck, but the fits and starts that come with the rehabs with these guys. And I don't follow Tommy John surgeries across the league enough to know how normal the amount of them are for the Astros, or B, how normal it is for guys to be yo-yoing like this during their rehabs.
They've had way more than normal. On average, there's fewer than 30 Tommy Johns amongst Major League pitchers per year in Major League Baseball. Yeah. So it's less than one per team per year. And they've had a couple a year for 3 years now. So maybe it's just random dumb luck. I don't know if there was anything about the way they prepare or rehab or anything else that might be at, but it's been bad. For whatever the cause or the reason is, the Astros have been hit by it really hard.
Well, nothing's been cookie cutter about coming back from it either. Like you know, Lance McCullough, I know Lance wasn't a Tommy John this past time, but it was an elbow, a reconstructive elbow surgery to some degree. it took him 2 years to come back from it. Luis Garcia, as you just mentioned, I can't count on Luis Garcia. He was, you know, he was starting to get to where he's throwing off a mound again, and then they shut him down for a month. So I can't count on that. Jose Urquidy, I'm guessing if all his stuff was going normal, he'd still be an Astro. He's a Detroit Tiger right now, you know? They had a chance to keep him, and they didn't. They let him go. So I have zero confidence that Christian Javier's comeback from his Tommy John is just going to go silky smooth, and we can slide him in August. And now we got Wisniewski and potentially Ronel Blanco. And I'm history has told me now that there's a really good chance that Ronel Blanco is going to have to go get Tommy John. If he's feeling elbow soreness to the extent that they put him on a plane and send him back to Houston to get MRIs, that's not good, you know? So it's going to be super interesting how they do this. The juggling act that Dana Brown and Joe Espada are going to have to do, especially in the near term, when the only guys in this rotation that you counted on being in the rotation at the beginning of the year are Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. That's it. Now, Spencer Arrighetti, as you point out, is going to come back, but he's not back right now. He's not even throwing rehab starts right now.
And the thing about it with Blanco is that we know from past experience that we might not actually get a straight answer on this for at least a month or so.
Yes.
Because remember when Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy got it done on pretty much the same date? But one of those two guys, I can't remember whether it was Garcia or Urquidy, as much as a couple days before he had his surgery, we were hearing from the team like, oh yeah, he's feeling better. He's feeling better. Oh no, by the way, he's having a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So the elbow discomfort, we've been trained to think elbow discomfort.
It's Tommy John.
Pretty good chance it's Tommy John surgery.
Tommy John, yeah. So this gets to be really, really dicey right now. I mean, and especially dicey. It'd be one thing if this was happening and the bats were going okay, but this is happening on a team who's in the bottom third in almost every offensive category right now of baseball. So you're asking the pitching staff, and thank God the bullpen has been solid. You know, like the bullpen who came into the season doing it with chicken wire and toothpaste and Josh Hader and Brian Abreu, you were counting on Taylor Scott maybe being that seventh inning guy. He's been DFA'd already. The bullpen is figuring out a way to get it done, as is the starters to a degree, but this is just on a team. This team has to start hitting at some point at least an average level.
Sean, it was one of my keys to victory at the beginning of the season. You'll remember it well, that I thought that they were just going to have to get as much as possible out of Brandon Walter and Colton Gordon.
That's exactly my point.
If you told me a few months ago that we were going to be relying on Colton Gordon, I would have said, hell yeah, bring it on. He's a winner, damn it.
When I'm having to Google the guys that they're calling up to start Major League Baseball games.
The Brandon Walter one was the one that's like, yeah, I vaguely know his story.
Okay, I guess I need to learn
Colton a little Gordon, I feel like I'm excited. If it weren't this situation, if you went back and Colton Gordon had to come up in 2022 or something for a few games, I would have gotten excited about Colton Gordon.
Yeah.
And yet right now, he makes me nervous as hell.
No, you're relying on him. Well, you and I watched Colton Gordon pitch in spring training, so I knew about him. But this is now the flip side to this is pretty cool for Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter. Astro fans may not want to hear that, but if we're just kind of looking at all the angles on this thing, like Brandon Walter is a 28-year-old guy who's been bouncing around the minor leagues. Didn't pitch. He was out of baseball last year in 2024, and now he's getting a call up with Ronel Blanco possibly going on the IL. Maybe.
Well, and he's intriguing because he hasn't bounced around. I mean, he was with the Red Sox and then he was with the Astros.
No, but I mean, he bounced around the minor league of the Red Sox organization.
Right. Well, they kind of felt really good about him at one point, and he was progressing through the system faster than people thought he would. And it's just when he got up to the majors, he didn't really do anything with it. So there was still, at some point, there was some upside about him. Didn't play well when he had his chance and then got injured. Yeah. So I could see, you can talk yourself into like, oh, okay, there's a high ceiling in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a story. And so his starts get interesting, but not the same way that a Hunter Brown start is interesting. Hunter Brown starts are interesting because aside from yesterday, you go, okay, I'm going to watch dominance today. We love watching dominance. The Brandon Walter ones and the Colton Gordon ones to a similar degree. Look, these guys have an opportunity now, you know, and Colton Gordon looked a little overwhelmed in his first start, but kept him in the game. He looked better in his second start, got victimized by a crappy Tampa Bay minor league ballpark home run in that game. Otherwise, he probably gives you five or six innings of one-run ball in that game. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Walter was really good in his start. So I'm trying to talk myself into this because this is worse than last year. This is worse than last year right now because you're losing. Last year you lost Javier for the year and you had some injuries at the beginning of the year. But like by the end of the year, you know, Ronel Blanco, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown turned into an ace. You traded for Yusei Kikuchi. You went into the postseason last year with four bona fide starters, you know, going into the postseason. You're at two right now. You're at two for the foreseeable future. And I don't know what the stomach for this team is to make a Kikuchi trade again where they're giving up three prospects to go get a guy.
And
you know,
give out yet more prospects. Ugh.
Damn this is worse. This is in the rotation. This is worse than last year. The bullpen being as good as it is noteworthy. How sustainable is it? Are all these no-namers going to keep pitching really well? Josh Hader has been a much better version of himself this year than he was last year. That all helps. That's probably the biggest thing that's keeping you over 500 right now. But it is a two-man rotation right now.
So the other flip side of it is, all right, also what happened last year was the bats picked it up around about this time last year. Yeah. And then it was off to the races.
Yeah.
So where on the offensive side of things, Jake Myers has been a big sticking point this morning.
Yes.
Because Sean keeps annoyingly pointing out that this time last year, Jake Myers had even better numbers than he does right now.
Right.
So don't hold your breath on expecting him to sustain it. That's what Sean has been saying all show long, that Jake Myers sucks. And you guys have just forgotten about it. I've been sticking up for him. I think that last year's run was a little bit of an illusion, whereas this year it's built on substance.
Here's what happened. Seth put him in the circle of trust. I didn't. And it's because, as Seth pointed out, his main number. I don't hate him. At times I do. That's probably true. But right now I don't. I just don't trust that this looks exactly like 2024 for Jake. Like he was on fire in May of last year. And then it was like there was an expiration date. You know, like, sorry, this version of Jake expires on May 31st. He's back to a 680 OPS.
Let's say he does turn into a pumpkin again. Then Yordan and Jose Altuve cannot continue to be pumpkins.
No, they've
That's been the biggest. Last year when it was a pandemic of awful baseball early in the season, you almost couldn't even focus on any one individual. This year, it feels more like, well, all right, Christian Walker, I had no feeling about beforehand. Brendan Rodgers, what the hell is going on there? Whatever. But Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez cannot be playing like this.
Yeah.
And Yordan's never played this bad for this extended a period of time.
Right. Okay, so you brought up the Jake Myers thing. You voted him into the circle. By the way, if you missed the circle of trust, it is the smallest circle of trust in terms of headcount in the history of the gimmick. That Seth and I have been doing this since 2019. We've never had as few as five people in it. We have five people that made it: Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Jeremy Pena, Isak Paredes, and then Josh Hader representing the bullpen.
Yeah, we don't want to do it. So the bullpen made it in the circle
bullpen
of trust.
Made it with Hader as their captain. Jake Myers did not. So I put out a poll, Seth. I know you've not looked at this yet. We just did our first Astro Circle of Trust of the season. As expected, Jake Myers' candidacy was the most spirited debate. Should Jake Myers be in the Circle of Trust? What percentage of early voters do you think agree with you and say, yes, Jake Myers, that goofy look on his face, belong in the Circle of Trust?
I think it's pretty healthy because a lot of people just don't want to remember that he had this kind of start last year. Mm-hmm. I think 78% said yes, he should be in the Circle of Trust.
Okay, you're right on yes, but you're a little off on the percentage. 63%. So okay. Two-thirds. You said, what, 78%?
Yeah.
So the spirit of what you're saying is correct, which is why I wanted it. It's a healthy majority.
I base too much of that on how many people on the text line are calling you an idiot. I thought that that's more of a silent minority than a loud minority than it is the...
No, you're right. Twitter is a much more positive, balanced space than the text page. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's people still weighing in on Jake, thinking that I'm an idiot for not putting him in there. You know what? We have a loyal listener, Rick Tindall, who listens to the show. And I'm a little bit disappointed in Rick, who's a loyal listener, who says, he's batting 306. How could he not be? Again, This is not a participation ribbon or a little miniature Little League trophy for what you've done so far. It's the feeling on, can this continue? Or when he steps into the batter's box, do I feel like this 306 batting average is indicative of the human being standing in there right now that is going to perform in the next several seconds? I right now am a little skeptical of that 306 batting average. That's
which,
all.
I guess the opposite of this exercise that we just did would be the circle of top free agents for next year. And I know that you're getting a little disgusted because when you start to look at lists of free agents,
yeah,
Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker come up on it a lot.
The Athletic had Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker 1 and 2.
They did 1 and 2?
They did the top 50 free agents yesterday. This is after, during the show yesterday, an article drops on MLB.com that has seven guys who might win their first MVP this year. And two of them are Bregman and Tucker. I can live with that. There's not a power ranking. The MLB top 50 free agents. Number one, Kyle Tucker. Number two, Alex Bregman. That is a swift kick in the junk right there, my friends. That
which
is
do
tough.
You, I'm torn on this one. Which do you expect is most likely to fall off of that by the end of the season?
Bregman.
Yeah.
Bregman only because he's been so out of this world already this year. Tucker's just so consistent. You know what I mean? Like, he is just, now, if it were the playoffs, you know, just regular season we're talking. If it's playoffs, I'll take Bregman over Tucker in the postseason every day
That's
of the
true.
Week.
I would say better chance that Tucker is going to have more impressive stats at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But much better chance that Bregman has, even if the numbers aren't great, has those competitive at-bats and everything else in the playoffs.
Yes.
And he'll make some clutch defensive plays to where the playoffs would be a big shine for Bregman this year. More so than Kyle Tucker, who he's had his huge moments in the playoffs, but steadily
not lately.
Been a great,
yeah,
great
not
performer.
Last 2 years has not been good. And well, the key for Bregman, they got to make the playoffs. Both of them do.
Obviously. Right.
The Cubs are leading their division. The Red Sox would not make the playoffs if the postseason started today.
The whole thing about Bregman is he's got that string of player options. So there's a good chance if Bregman falls off a cliff, he just won't be a free agent at the end of this year.
This is probably a topic for more than the 28 seconds we have left in the segment. But you brought this up, this free agent. That article that I'm talking about lists the Astros as one of the possible suitors for Bregman.
Ooh, not if Paredes keeps playing this way.
Well, you do the thing where you move Paredes over to second like they were talking about. Although Paredes has played a good third base for them so far this year.
I know, you might start looking at, okay, for how much we're paying for this guy compared to paying this much for Alex Bregman. I don't know.
Would you rather bring Tucker back on a 10-year deal or Alex Bregman back on a 6-year deal? If you could bring one of them back, who would it be?
Bregman.
Yeah, me too. I just don't like 10-year deals.
I've read too many articles about how he's just like the wise sage up there in Boston and how incredible his baseball mind is and all the things that nobody else does in terms of locker room leadership and whatnot. Yeah,
I've read too many articles about how stupid 10-year deals are.
Yeah. Oh, the 10-year deal in general.
Yeah, I don't like that. All right, so there you go. 63% of you saying that Seth is the smart one on the show when it comes to the circle of trust.
No, listen, it's our circle of trust, Sean. You don't have to separate me out.
Okay.
That's what we decided as a group.
It's a team.
Okay?
Yep. Team.
So, I own it. I own it.
Team effort. All right. Okay, so they voted on the tush push yesterday. How did the Texans vote? Does the Texans vote sound anything like what Nick Caserio said about the tush push on our show back in April? And there were three reasons yesterday, from what I'm hearing, why I would, if I was pro tush push walking into that thing, three reasons I would have changed my vote after I walked in. We'll do that coming up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
All right, so things got heated yesterday at the NFL league meetings. I wish they would televise these. You know, maybe someday. I wish the NFL had televised, well, maybe not, the Jeffrey Lurie one-hour speech I could have done without. But just to watch, reportedly, Seth, during the discussion on the tush push yesterday, prior to the vote getting taken, for those who missed it, the tush push, the play that the Eagles have made famous with Jalen Hurts, where two guys shove him on short yardage situations, it will remain, at least for the time being. The banning of the tush push got voted down 22-10. They needed 24 votes to ban it. They only got 22, so they fell two votes short. So this apparently the debate before the vote got pretty heated yesterday. I would have liked to have just seen it just to see if it matched the headlines of tempers flared. Remember, I texted you yesterday. I'm like, ooh, tempers at the meeting.
My favorite part, though, too, is that, you know, they at one point they had just the owners meeting, the owners and their families meeting. They not even the GMs or anybody else was allowed in. And still, guys like Schefter were getting leaks from inside the meeting.
Yeah.
So, I love that dynamic.
Yeah.
There are at least a few billionaires in there just still dishing while they're,
Yeah.
Well, when Jeffrey Lurie gets up and gives a one-hour speech, honestly, what did you expect, Jeffrey Lurie?
Seth's not exaggerating. Let me just point that out. Reportedly, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, they were the ones defending the crypt of the tush push. You know, like they were the one that they're the ones that benefit the most from this play. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, got up and made a 1 hour speech. That had to be, what am I saying? I want to watch this on TV. That had to be the most boring hour in the history of meetings. A 1 hour speech on the freaking tush push. Are you kidding me?
He's one of these guys that has never been – he's got so many people telling him how brilliant he is all the time that he's lost all sense of exactly how long he should go when speaking. And he just got up there and rambled for an hour. I can guarantee you that it was not a well-put-together, finely crafted argument or presentation. It was him up there rambling.
I'd rather watch Nick Sirianni do it. And not just because he'll give us gems, you know, like – Right. Would be entertaining, like Nick Sirianni. But Jeffrey Lurie, if you're going to make an hour-long speech about the tush push, I would imagine most of it needs to be about the safety, the training that goes into it, the practice that goes into
it. The fact that it does take skill. It's not just a matter of getting up there and having more big guys
or
what have
you. Of all the layers of a football organization that are equipped to have that sort of conversation, I feel like owner is the one that's most detached from that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because as you said, the main thing the league wanted, because the league wants this out, the league reportedly put the Packers up to proposing this so that they could take the bullets on this. Packers don't have a singular owner. They're owned by the town. You know, they've got shareholders. So Packers, you propose this, and then let's hope it gets voted out. But the main reason was it's just an unaesthetic, horrible-looking play. It's not exciting. It's bad. if Lurie's up there trying to explain for an hour why this is not an aesthetically unpleasing play.
He's doing the exact opposite of what, like, this is exactly what we don't want. The defining moment that a lot of people point to is the time in the NFC Championship game when the Eagles ran it six times in a row on the goal line. And it was just a big quagmire of false starts and coming up short. And it was boring.
Yeah.
And it was ugly. And most of the owners, I think that's the true reason they don't want it. Where the owners that wanted to ban it fell apart was where, like, just how transparently, like, how transparent and obvious it was that they weren't making any of their actual arguments. They were trying to make it a safety issue, or they were trying to say it doesn't take any technique or skill or anything. Just come right out with it.
Yeah.
At the very least, be honest and say you don't like it because it's not good for the viewing
experience.
Stupid
looking play. That's why I don't like it. So if I were to have walked into that room, as an NFL owner and my mindset was, you know what, I'm going to back Jeffrey on this. I don't think it's right that they ban it. We should learn how to stop this play, as nine other teams did. The Texans were not one of them. But enough voted against the ban to keep it in place. If I had walked in there as one of those teams, a one-hour speech from the owner of the team who uses it the most might have been enough to flip me just out of being pissed off that this guy's up here talking about it for an hour. I would want to punish him for talking for an hour. That would have been number one. Then when Jason Kelce gets up there and gives what was categorized as a generic speech on this thing, that would have been number two. I'd have been like, you're Jason Kelce. At least be entertaining when you're doing this thing here.
Yeah, these men are not your bosses anymore.
Yeah, man.
Like, what are you, scared?
Put on a mummer's outfit like you did at that Super Bowl parade and entertain me. Dance around, Jason Kelce. The third thing, and this actually happened after the vote was taken, but if a vote were to get taken again, say a year from now, maybe the play does turn a lot of people off. The Eagles flexing on social media as an organization, while the quality of the humor was very, very good, I felt like the appropriateness of it in terms of the fact, like, you won this thing by two votes. Y'all are bebopping and scotting through town like you just won this thing, you know, 31-1. No, man, you were two votes away from that thing getting banned. They're putting memes up there of Jalen Hurts with the words "Go Push" on it. They put out a 26-minute YouTube of all the tush push plays that they've ever run yesterday.
Honestly, if I were going to get ahead of this and start worrying about next year's election, if I were the Eagles, what I would really do is start pushing hardcore into the fact that of the non-Eagles teams, seven AFC teams voted against banning it.
Yeah.
Only two NFC teams voted against banning it.
Right.
Which feels a whole lot like, man, the teams that have to face the Eagles as often as possible, it wasn't just about the aesthetics of the play, that they also want to take this really strong and powerful tool that the Eagles have and strip them of it. And that's where the part, I think that would have to be a dividing line for me. If I were in the NFC, I would feel like, man, I can't trust that I'm not doing this just because I want to hurt The Eagles specifically.
Yep.
The Eagles, I want to hurt the Eagles for doing something that's 100% completely legal, that is not a safety risk in comparison to other football plays. At the end of the day, I'm just being a punk.
Yeah.
I just don't want the Eagles to beat me with this.
I love that.
And I can't do that in good conscience.
Just being a punk.
If the Browns were the best in the league at the tush push this year, I might say, all right, you know what? Yep, all right, it's not a great play. Let's get rid of it.
Right.
But I can't do it while the Eagles are the reigning Super Bowl champion.
Text message, people are not going to turn the NFL off because of a few tush push plays in every game. They're not going to turn the NFL off for any one single reason like that in a game ever. It's about wanting the product to be the best it can be overall. Like, if there's something you feel like you can fix, you fix it. And the league and Goodell and 22 of the owners at least clearly don't like that play for whatever reason.
Yeah.
This was Nick Caserio on our show back on April 3rd. This is why I was a little surprised the Texans were not one of the 10 teams that opposed the ban based on this answer from Nick Caserio when we asked him about the tush push back in early April.
When you look at the play in and of itself, in the end, it's a version of a quarterback sneak. And D'Amico and I have both commented publicly, so this isn't anything like groundbreaking information here, but you shouldn't penalize a team for a good execution. And it's not like all of a sudden, like Hurts just dropped out of the sky and is playing quarterback. So the guy's been playing quarterback for 4 years. He's got over 4,000 snaps, 600 rushes. I don't know how many times they've run the sneak. So now all of a sudden, like we have an issue with the play, but more than anything, what we should be doing is tip your hat to Stout and Nick for good execution. I mean, Jalen squats 6,000 pounds, so he's got good lower body strength. And when you actually look at the play, and I haven't done this, maybe we can have somebody out there in a Twitter sphere look at this, the number of times where the player, whether it's in proximity or close to the quarterback, is actually pushed to create, you know, additional yardage. I mean, it probably doesn't happen on every play, because by the time, you know, the quarterback takes a snap and he's moving forward, it's more about what's going on the offensive line. So, but is it, we're going to penalize players in the NBA for the Euro step, like that, we're going to make that illegal, even though, like, what's so every situation? Look, if you find something that works, okay, sometimes you just have to tip your hat to good execution. You know, I think you got to be careful about that. So, again, I've probably already said too much. I'll probably get fined for some of these comments. But,
no, you're good, Nick. It's just your team didn't vote the way that you answered that question, yeah, right?
And it's the owners that vote.
Yeah.
So, and that's where I don't, it doesn't surprise me that I think there will be a lot of coaches and GMs that would have voted differently than their owners. I think coaches and GMs would be more wired to feel like, you know what, I don't like the play, but I can't in good conscience vote it out. Well, there's a team out there that's just simply running it better than everybody else, mm-hmm. and they're the best team. It feels like you're trying to cut the champ off at his knees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I would feel like, Sean? I would feel like Commodus injuring Maximus right before our big sword fight.
Yes.
Yeah. I would feel like I'm like that guy that I can't win fair and square.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and try to weak. This is different than back when, you know, the Patriots defensively were playing real handsy, mm-hmm. as defensive backs. And that's when Peyton and Archie Manning went and lobbied the league, and Tony Dungy cried and cried and cried. And they changed the emphasis to get back to what the rule book was.
Yeah.
A more rule book strict definition of defensive holding and everything. Like that's just actually asking them to enforce the rules the way they are. The Eagles aren't doing anything like that at all. They're just abiding by the rules and doing a better job of it than anybody other than the Bills.
Have the Texans ever had anything in their history that they've done as a coaching staff, the level of ingenuity that you have to where the rest of the league is like, don't you can't,
huh? Watfork much? Lining up J.J. Watt and Vince Wilfork, and finding out later that J.J. Watt had 3 torn groin muscle tendons at the time.
That's
as innovative as it gets.
That popped into my head. No, the one thing off of that, though, the season before was the season where J.J. was scoring all those touchdowns as a tight end. Like, that's the closest thing I can think of. Like, nope, you can't have your all-pro defensive end go both ways. Sorry.
Right.
You're scoring touch. Yeah, the Watt.
And that wasn't even innovative. It's not. It's something that used to be more common. No,
most teams don't. I mean, most teams don't have something that they've done. I'm just trying to think if the Texans have ever had anything where the league was like, hey, we need to stop the Watt.
Yeah, there's never been like a pistol or anything else like that where the Texans were the first NFL team to adopt a college.
Yeah, we're not freaky like that here. Yeah, we're just, we're.
Yeah, let's get a little freaky.
Yeah, a little freaky. Yeah.
Come on.
Enough of the missionary over there, all right? Let's get into the freaky. All right.
Speaking of that, that was another thing. Jeffrey Lurie made kind of a lewd comment during his speech. Apparently, basically about how he said they were winners no matter what, because even if they banned the tush push, it's there's kind of a cool factor to having been banned.
Yeah.
He said that it's like a teenager's a certain type of dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Nocturnal. Like,
it's like a teenager's something kind of dream.
Yeah, it's a dream. It's not a dry one. Yeah.
You got to remember, these NFL owners meetings are not a bunch of guys sitting around smoking cigars.
Used to be,
room somewhere. This is a mixed crowd. Yeah. This has old ladies in it at some point.
Yeah.
So I feel like Lurie, again, the whole billionaire thing.
Right.
They get so much success and nothing but positive feedback from so many people that they lose all touch with reality.
He got reprimanded by Troy Vincent for saying that yesterday.
Yeah, Troy Vincent's the fun police at these things.
Oh, dude. Anytime you say Troy Vincent's name to Ted Johnson, his mouth just reflexively goes, turncoat.
Yeah.
Turncoat, because, Troy Vincent used to be a player, and now he's a You know, he's a cuck for the league now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone on the text page, real quick, I know we got to get out, says, I can't lie. Part of me just wants Seth Payne to become the commissioner of something again. Anything. You were COVID commissioner back in the day. Probably most. That was your most recent.
Nobody's ever done a better job than I did as
phenomenal.
COVID commissioner.
Yeah.
My ability to build
up, I feel fine.
To jump back and forth and never be pinned down on anything. It
the best.
Served me very well. Yes.
The best. All right. Well,
I can say with a straight face that I said many different things during the COVID era.
We'll find out what the guys on In the Loop have going on. This is a postseason run. One of, like, we've never seen before. Does this team need to close it out to get maximum enjoyment out of this history that they're making right now? We'll get to that, read some more of your texts. A lot of you still weighing in on some of the topics of the day. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop coming up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. The guys on In the Loop will be in here momentarily. Man, this Pacers-Knicks game last night, I know there's no Houston involvement directly in this thing, but this is the topic today on TV and around the country. The Pacers have now, after last night's comeback, if you missed it last night, the Pacers were down by 14 points with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go. They were down by 9 with 52 seconds to go in the game. And they came back and forced overtime and won the game in overtime. And once again, it was Tyrese Haliburton with the death blow, or at least the tying basket, to send it to overtime. A basket that looked like a game-winning three-pointer that hit the back rim went... This is probably, Seth, the highest I've ever seen a ball hit the rim and go up in the air and still come down. Like, this thing went a good 10 or 15 feet in the air and came down.
It looked like you would have expected to see this on a grainy video from a high school game.
It was wild.
The ones that go viral for crazy shots.
Yes.
From high school games. You see this every now and then. But, yeah, in the NBA or in a televised game, it was incredible. It was like a work of art almost.
Well,
it was. Yeah. I would buy the NFT for this.
I would definitely buy it, considering the Knicks were on the other end of it too. That it was the that it was the shot at the end of regulation in a game that had an historic comeback. Again, over the past 27 NBA playoffs, teams that were trailing by at least 9 points in the final minute of the fourth quarter were 0-1,414. They are now 1, and this is how improbable it was, and that's how, and that shot going in, this was not a swish. And by the way, it looked like a three-pointer. It was originally called a three-pointer. Tyrese Halliburton was giving the Reggie Miller choke sign to the Knicks. I mean, this is the same two teams that had all sorts of stuff going on like that back in the mid-90s, crazy comebacks and whatnot. Reggie Miller is there, who he originated that choke sign. He's there doing the game for TNT. It was just a cinematic, wild scene. And then they go back and look at it. It's only a 2. So now they got to go to overtime, and Tyrese Halliburton's got to close the deal in overtime to keep from getting ridiculed. But he does. 138 to 135, the Knicks lose in overtime.
What feels worse? If you're the Knicks, if you're a Knicks fan losing in that fashion, or if you're a Rockets fan when they shot 27, when they missed 27 consecutive three-pointers, which is also like ridiculously long odds that that would ever happen in a game, and you're watching it unfold right before your face.
The Knicks, I would say the Rockets, because it was a game seven. It was a game seven, and if you make five of those, they lost by 9 in that game.
And it's drawn out. You keep watching miss three after miss three after miss three. Yeah.
It ain't neither are good. Now, this is, Seth, in this postseason so far, you know, this is the third series the Pacers have played in here. In each of the series, they've had a comeback like this that the odds are, you know, the win probability is 99.99% for the other team. Against Milwaukee, they were down 118-111 with 34.7 seconds left in overtime. They won 119-118. Against the Cavaliers, they were down 119-112 with 46.7 seconds left, and they come back and win that game. And then last night, they were down by 9 with 52 seconds and change left in the fourth quarter, and they come back and win that game in overtime. Do you have to close out and win the whole thing, or at least get to the finals to get full enjoyment out of all these comebacks? Like the nostalgia, does the nostalgia hit different if you don't at least get to the NBA finals here for
the
Pacers?
Immediately I think of the first year that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes, when they came back from double digits in every game on their way to a championship.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as much of a story as if they'd come back from double-digit deficits right up until the Super Bowl and then didn't win the Super Bowl. I don't think you get a – I think that's something you carry forward into the next year. Look at these guys. Look at these gritty blue-collar guys. They're going to fight till the end no matter what. That's you don't remember it that same way.
Yeah.
It's something you hang your hat on.
I'm trying to think, because I'm like, God, I feel like we've done this topic recently. Like when there's an historic comeback or a huge play in a postseason on the way to the championship, do you have to actually end up winning the championship to have full enjoyment of that memory? I know what it is. I just thought of it. It's the University of Houston. They had that win against Duke that was completely improbable in the semifinal. You beat Duke, which is unto itself, but you did it in an historic fashion. But then you lose the finals the way they did, especially losing the finals the way they did at the end there. It takes some of the starch out of that Duke win as a memory for me. It would for me, at least. You know?
Right. No, the classic and the peak example would be the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Which the U.S. beat the Soviets, and it was an incredible, huge upset, especially given the context of the Cold War and everything. But if they had lost the gold medal round, I don't know if it would quite resonate that way.
Yeah.
And most people that just casually know this story just assume that they beat the Soviets to win the gold medal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, there's something along the way that it just probably wouldn't have been lionized quite as much if they also hadn't won the gold medal.
The biggest one for me locally like that is the Jose Altuve home run to walk it off against the Yankees to get to the World Series. It doesn't get any better than that. The most popular Houston Astro in the history of the team, among the most popular athletes in the history of this city, hits a home run walk-off against the most hated evil empire in its sport, and yet you go on to lose in the World Series where you don't win a damn home game against the Nationals. And I'm just – that Altuve home run, as great as that moment is, serves as a reminder that you didn't close the deal in a very deal-closable World Series that year, you know?
I guess the one difference there is that because it happened to the Yankees, at the very least, it always gets brought up when you're shutting up dumbass Yankees fans.
I still like it. I like watching it, but it's not peak. It's not maximum, you know? All right, we've talked a little bit about the tush-push here in the 9 o'clock hour, the fact that it didn't get banned. To ban the tush push, you also need to ban pile shoving and pulling. Well, that's what they were trying to do. The proposal was to ban all the shoving and pulling.
You can't push a ball carrier. An offensive player can't push another ball carrier.
All right, yeah. I'm just curious if you agree with this. This is the same texter. Of course, I feel the same about stripping the football using UFC punches. Very chicken bleep way to play a sport, but people love it. Do you have a problem with people punching at the football?
I don't think it's chicken bleep at all. Yeah,
I don't either.
I don't know where that would come in. It's not. I mean, if you're
just trying to get the ball out,
if you're trying to get away with punching a guy in the kidneys or something, then yeah. But I don't like the peanut punch.
Oh, yeah, the peanut punch. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's chicken bleep.
Yeah. Unless we need you to expand.
Oh well, now unless he's also saying that you're not, instead of going for the tackle, you're just the guys that are turning down contact to punch at it.
That could be.
I could see that.
We need more, Texter. We need to know more about why exactly the peanut
punch.
Doesn't
think, what about the one where the guy secures the tackle with one arm but then does a kung fu chop viciously? Like, is that – if he thinks that's chicken bleep, then I don't have any I can't get where he's coming from.
I don't have a problem with any of them.
Punching at it without even trying to make the tackle, yeah, I don't like that.
You're right. It is a risky way to play football. Like the one time that you do that and you knock the ball out, it changes the game.
Well, and it does all – the one time you do it, it does work out. But, yeah, it just feels sometimes like there's guys that are just like trying to go for personal glory in that moment. First and foremost, could you get the guy on the damn ground?
Get him on the ground, no doubt.
If it's in the last 2 minutes of the game and you're down or whatever, that's a whole different story.
Now, I will say this. The peanut punch, way more watchable than the tush push.
Yeah.
Peanut punch is fun, man. When that ball does pop out of there and you get everybody scrumming around for it on the ground, it's good stuff. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. I say that because we're about to crosstalk with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, crosstalk.
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing, man. Excited.
How wild was that last night? Oh, the whole thing of it being the Knicks and the Pacers, two teams with history. The comeback, which is, you know, Seth and I were just going through the stats. I mean, you guys have seen them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know, one in the teams down by 9 in the final minute in the playoffs since the late 90s, 0-1,414. Now, that's a literal stat. That's not an exaggeration. Yeah. I'm reading that, Elias Sports Bureau. And now it's 1-1,414. And the fact that the shot to send it to overtime, first of all, was called a shot that wouldn't have saved. It was called a winning three-pointer.
Yeah.
But the fact that the ball bounced so high up in the air and went in, I just love that the Knicks fan base got a dagger through their heart in such an excruciating fashion.
And if you know what, to add on to it, we haven't even talked about this. If you were going to say, okay, of the teams that would allow, of the more than 1,000 teams that have never allowed this type of comeback when leading – like this, would it be a Tom Thibodeau that would relinquish it? That too. The fact that these guys, no, this is your dad's NBA. Sorry, where are you now, tough guy? Huh?
That's a really good point. I mean, and now some of the shots the Pacers are making, I can't put that. Thibodeau point is a really good one. I'm looking at some of the shots. I'm like, all right, well, this Nesmith coming in and just knocking down these circus threes and whatnot.
The tying three, well, tying shot.
Yeah,
it went higher than the top of the shot clock.
Yeah, I've never seen. I'm not. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic. I've never seen
higher than the top of the shot.
I've never seen a ball bounce that high up and go in. I've seen them bounce that high up and they go over the shot clock or they land in the in the second row or whatever. Yeah. But that was some crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I was watching that with Figgy, T-Mill. We were over at a bar together, and I jumped. We were having mid conversation. I jump up out of my seat because of that particular moment. Just absolutely insane. And Seth, you made a good point, because I did go and look at it, and I do think the fatigue absolutely allowed the Pacers back into that, because the Knicks have been a very good defensive team, and they started kind of sagging off, not getting up to the level on pick and roll that allowed Nesmith and some of these guys to knock down some of those crazy three-pointers. Like, the mental level started dropping, and so I went and I checked, and of the teams that remain, the top five guys in minutes per game.
Yeah.
All those New York Knicks starters.
They're the top. Hold up. They're the top five of all the players remaining in the postseason. Are
that's
those
correct.
Knicks guys. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, in this postseason. Yep.
Somewhere J.J. Redick is like, yeah, so play him the whole second half. That's what I do.
What's your point?
Yeah, damn. Yeah. So along those lines, question of the day.
Question of the day. What are some of or what is your favorite gesture in sports history?
Gesture?
Or gesture.
Yeah, I was like, it's gonna be the D-Generation X here, brother.
Yeah, the crotch chop, of course.
You'd be surprised. I started thinking about this. How many you can have an entire conversation with just gestures and know what everybody's referring to?
Yeah, yeah, it's like its own sign language.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went with the Usain Bolt. You know,
ooh,
two arms pointed this way. Okay,
that's a real good one. And of course, my era.
You know, the shrugging of the shoulder.
The
Jordan shoulder shrug's a good one. Yeah. That's a really
good
one.
I mean, it's kind of – it's become such an institution, not just in sports, but in society at large, the high five co-invented awesome. By Dusty Baker.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thought that was the first time – it took until 1977 for a couple of guys to think, hey – let's slap hands, but way up here.
Up here, yeah.
Yeah.
What if we slice the bread?
Yeah.
People are going to eat this up, this sliced bread. I like that. It's funny. Anytime you guys bring in these questions, I don't know why, my brain always goes to, you're like, what are the best gestures? And my brain always goes to, what are the ones I hate the most?
Yeah. Do it. What are the ones that you do hate?
Well, non-sports.
The ones I hate, I'm not a big fan of the guys spooning food into their mouth. Yeah,
DJ Swearinger.
Yeah. I'm not a huge, maybe that's why, because it was DJ Swearinger doing it. I'm really not a fan of, this is a very simple one, not a fan of the guys that get up signing incomplete after a guy had a ball bounce off his face mask or something. Like, you didn't do anything. He was supposed to catch the ball. You're getting up giving the incomplete sign, you know, or a tackle. 15 yards downfield and they're getting up and they're swearing during. Yeah, like, no, man, they just got 15 yards on you.
Yeah,
I don't like the slime.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah.
I feel like if you've had a toddler, you don't like the slime. it just brings back too many memories of like, oh, everybody at Perkins is staring at us. Because of my sick kid. I don't know why I brought him in here. Because I don't know what to do with him, okay?
Green goo. That's a good one, man.
I do love that. It feels like as parents, you guys are viscerally feeling, I'm sick now. Like, not even I'm going to be sick. I've seen that child wipe their nose, and I am instantly sick.
Just like that.
That slime is toxic, man.
Yes, it is.
That is toxic slime. God, I could do this whole topic just WWE alone.
Come back in.
Money Manziel.
That one did grab some attention. I do want to return, though, to the no-fly zone from the cornerbacks.
Yeah.
I will say, like, while logically, absolutely insane, it makes me smile so much because it points to how that position is just built differently. You have to have an irrational level of confidence to play that position. It just doesn't
You willed that poor pass from the quarterback.
That's right.
Yes.
That ball wouldn't have gone into the first row of the bleachers if you hadn't covered the guy so well.
Like, I wish I had that level of mindset because, I mean, life is hard enough as is. Like, you're like, dudes are going to get these catches. The rules are built against me. When I get an incomplete pass, no matter by hook or by crook, we're celebrating this, baby.
We're already getting some good ones. How about...
Oh, yeah.
Kiss of death. Mario Ali.
The anniversary of which was
yesterday. A couple days ago.
Yesterday, Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I sent Mario a text wishing him a happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, King. Here you go, JYD.
There you go.
Yep. All right. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing.
Yes, sir.
I love this topic. This is good stuff. I can't wait to get on my walk and listen to In the Loop. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. 10 to 2. You got the fellas. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and I'm going to give the old Italian flip off.
There's gestures in driving. There are gestures in driving.
This is.
You said gestures plural?
This is going to be really, really good.
Gestures plural in driving?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
There's a lot of good ones. A lot of good ones. All right. Well, Seth, I'll see you tomorrow for a Friday show. Fellas, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.